Thank you, Irvin. I just kind of wanted to go home after that, but. You mentioned the word Terry as one that old people use, right? I don't think I ever used that word, but I reckon there's been a lot of people said that about me. You know, I apologize to the people that were lighting the wreath. I couldn't help but laugh how many Mennonites it takes to light and how long it takes. And I'm laughing with you, not at you. How long it takes me now just to put on my socks. And we're not even talking about the long underwear I have to wear out there. You know, it takes me a while. And, you know, Susan asked me a couple of weeks ago, I think, if I would share some reflections today. And I really wasn't clear what she wanted. You know, she said that she told me what the text was and said that it would be good to hear from some of those who were keepers of the flame. And I wanted to ask her if I got that right, but she's not here today. So I don't know if I made that up or if that's really what she said. But the real truth I just discovered is it is Senior Citizen Sunday here at CMCL. And people who know me as a carpenter, who sometimes are surprised that I had another life, which is really hard to disentangle from your own heart, but you're going to preach. Do you get nervous? And I don't ordinarily, but this is the first time I preach with my dentures. And so if they go flying out, catch them and give them back to me because they cost a lot of money. But really, when she asked me, you know, and I had that thing, you know, that phrase in my mind of the keeper of the flame, that my first response, which I didn't utter out loud, was, "You talking to me?" The keeper of the flame of all people. Let me tell you something. Since my ordination in 1990, I think I've served six congregations, and I think only two of them still survive. And trust me, survival was their top priority and became their top priority for me, the pastor, which is kind of proves that if you try to save your life, you will surely lose it. It works for congregations as well. So, some kind of flame keeper I've been. The last thing in the world, really, I want to do today is talk about myself. But I guess it can't be helped. It's sort of the assignment. It can't be helped if I'm honest. And the evangelist Luke is nothing but honest. And I want to thank Irvin again for sort of setting the context so I don't have to do all that scholarly stuff. I just said scholarly stuff with my dentures. He's honest not just about the destiny of this child, but about the many whose lives are going to be turned upside down by this Messiah's coming, by his unflinching commitment to his vocation, to his mission. There's a lot of ink that's been spilt on describing just what that vocation or mission is, but Luke puts it this way: he will be a sign. He will be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. Now, I want to just pause there, Terry, for a minute. God with us, yes, will be a sign, a person, but also a sign signaling something, signaling, revealing what we human beings really think at our heart of hearts. Now, it may be that this is what we have truly longed for, God with us as a sign, but I have a hunch that it is also maybe what we most might dread, God with us. Hence, there's a bumper sticker, "Look busy, Jesus is coming." God as a sign is God made flesh with a prophet's heart and also a prophet's tongue, a prophet's mouth, who might, on occasion, even sound a little bit like the Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright. Y'all remember him? The pastor Obama disowned? I met Dr. Wright, heard him at a couple of revivals. You ever get a chance, trust me, that man can preach. But he too is a sign that has been opposed. Luke tells us this will be the one whose very presence will pierce hearts and even his own mother's heart. And so according to Luke, this child has a decidedly political destiny, which gets very personal. It's both. And it's this, we are told, that the old man Simeon looks forward to. The one who will be the consolation of Israel. Let's linger. I like that one. Linger on what that means for the sign to be a consolation. There's a hymn draws on this text. Israel's hope and consolation, come thou long expected Jesus. It is really strange, I think, to imagine this sign that will be opposed as a consolation, don't you think? A consolation, a heart-rending, soul-piercing consolation. But Simeon, even after all of these years, still yearns for that. Now, yearning and yearning and yearning for decades can get old. And I think I know something. That kind of yearning can wear a man down, wear a woman down, but it takes longer with women. So I can't help but think at times how Simeon must have, you know, been tempted anyway to give all that yearning up, to give hoping up. There may have been times he went to the temple purely out of habit and didn't really expect a whole lot to come out of it. Maybe I'm wrong about Simeon. After all, they did say he was devout. But I will say, and I did say I was going to be honest, this is just what happens to us. We who may or may not be deemed righteous and devout by anyone who really knows what we're like, but who nonetheless have been summoned, have been called to ordain ministry. You know what the man said that advised me when I first thought about this? a wise one I respected, he said, do not do this unless you can do no other. I went, well, I did it anyway. We are called and we make promises and we exchange vows. It really is like marriage. And, you know, we know we're never going to live up to those promises, even from the get, but we try and we keep at it. And there are dry periods. Just ask Mother Teresa. Shocked the world with that announcement. It didn't shock me at all. There are dry periods for those called to ministry. And sometimes just going through the motions is all we can do, but I think, anyway, there's a lot to be said for that, for going through the motions. Because a promise is a promise. It's not a deal written by a lawyer with warranty exclusions. It's different. You keep at it, whether you're feeling it or not, that's the deal. Can I get an amen? Okay, well, because if I don't get an amen, I'll be preaching all day long. You keep at it. And so, yeah, stuff happens over time, and stuff happened to me. I have been profoundly and deeply loved by the church. And I have been sexually molested by a pastor. I've been prayed over and prayed for and supported in my deepest yearnings and all those days in the wilderness. And I've also been lied to and lied about by other elders and pastors. Among my colleagues in the clergy, I have been blessed and borne up when I couldn't bear myself up. And that has happened, and I've also been backstabbed and betrayed. I have witnessed countless minor miracles of mercy. And I've seen some major acts of depraved indifference. All this in the church. Some say it comes with the territory. I want y'all to know I am not unique in all of this. But this is my story and this is my song. Praising my Savior, maybe not all the day long. Maybe some days, not at all or not nearly enough do I praise my Savior, but I will still praise Him till the day I die. You know, there is a quote from the Roman Catholic priest, Carlos Corretto, that I've turned to time and time again over the years that somehow keeps me keeping on. I've learned a lot from the Roman Catholic priests, and so he says it better than me, so it seems fitting to share it with you today. He says, how baffling you are, O church, and yet how I love you. How you have made me suffer, and yet how much I owe you. I have seen nothing in the world more devoted to obscurity, more compromised, more false, and I have touched nothing more pure, more generous, more beautiful. How often I have wanted to shut the doors of my soul in your face, and how often I have prayed to die in the safety of your arms. No, I cannot free myself from you because I am you, although not completely. And where should I go? Where, indeed? Where could I go? Well, modern people would say you just find another congregation or find another church or something like that, you'd go there. No! I don't know what the Mennonites think about this. So, where I come from, there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one church. At any rate, wherever I might go, Jesus is not going to leave me alone. Not for long, anyway. He will not leave me alone. He will keep revealing my own inner thoughts, even if I'm not proud of them. He will keep on piercing this heart with a fearless love that just will not let me go. And then He will keep reminding me as often as it takes until it really does take. It is well. No matter what, in spite of anything, in spite of everything, in spite of my own self, it is well, and it will be well with this old soul. Amen.